Today on The Arts Review, we go to America's West Coast and review three exhibitions in Los Angeles with the culture journalist Richard Bentz. I'm Robert Bounds, and that is all ahead on today's Monocle Arts Review. And without further ado, we welcome on the line from sunny Los Angeles, Richard Bentz. Richard, welcome to the programme. And first of all, you've got something. You've got skinny on something very LA. You've got Cindy Sherman at the Broad. Talk us through this one.
Yes, absolutely. The Broad, being interesting in itself, it opened last year. Eli Broad is considered to be the Medici of Los Angeles. And an uber patron, and vastly wealthy, with a huge contemporary art collection, and has been a big fan of Cindy Sherman's work since the 80s. There are 125 Cindy Sherman photographs in the Broad collection, and this is the first exhibition in 20 years with an LA audience in mind.
So this is fascinating stuff. I mean, this is a big kind of cultural power play on behalf of Eli Broad himself, isn't it? Look what I've got, and look how good quality they are, and look how many they are. Look how many there are as well. What about the curation of this show, Richard? Does this kind of make sense? This doesn't feel like a greatest hits of Cindy Sherman or a greatest hits of Eli Broad. This is kind of a sort of cogent narrative hangs this together, does it?
It does, and I think what makes it so particularly relevant to Los Angeles being one of the world's crucibles of image making, is the curation and the way it digs deep in exploring the phenomenon of film stars and failed symbols of feminine roles in a city which is abundant with that. So I think with her work in this particular exhibition, it really digs deep in the powerful questions about identity and, more broadly, the role of images in contemporary culture. Cindy's work mines the histories of advertising, cinema and media, and really upsets what it is that you can trust in the image.
These are interesting as well. Having had a look at some of the imagery and some of the way it's displayed in the museum, Richard, it looks like these are kind of blown up to, dare I say it, silver screen proportions, actually. There is something really, or the size of a billboard on Sunset Boulevard. You know, the size of these photographs is almost the kind of thing that is designed to be driven past at 50 miles per hour, like the motel sign. They're all of that scale, aren't they?
That's very interesting. That's exactly right, actually. These huge murals as you walk into the exhibition space. And what's also a particularly nod to Los Angeles is the special exhibition audio tour that you can download on your app with commentary from well-known actresses and media starlets. So, for example, Gabby Hoffman talks about the particular relationship that Cindy Sherman has with acting. Cindy Sherman actually directed a film. And also Sharon Lockhart, who's a Los Angeles artist, talks about how, for example, one of the sections of her work is called Untitled Film Stills. And she found it particularly interesting that it was called Untitled because it is very much Cindy Sherman critiquing the male gaze and the role of women, the way that women have been used in art. And in particular, we go into the prosthetics section, which is pre-digital. It's dressing the part and not seamless at all. So, you know, we're so used to today having a filter on everything. This is very much showing its parts, its work in progress.
And I'm always intrigued at the level of sort of how didactic the wall writings are for shows like this. I mean, Cindy Sherman is such a well-known, one of the kind of superstars of contemporary art, Richard. How didactic are we given? Are we given instructions on what to look for in this, is the ton of text very very scant for this show?
It's not scant. No, I mean it's very helpful. It really points to the way Cindy Sherman directs, writes, and conceives everything. So I think definitely what it does is it allows us to really understand the way that Cindy Sherman explores the phenomenon of film stars and really raises powerful questions about that.
Okay, well, it's fascinating stuff. It is Cindy Sherman, Imitation of Life. It's at the Broad Museum in Los Angeles, as all our choices are today, until the 2nd of October. Richard, we're going to move it on. We're going to rock and roll over to the Hammer Museum. This show is called Made in LA. Is this all fresh new stuff, or is this a retrospective of the place you call home?
It investigates what is vital and distinctive about the city today. So it's focusing on 26 artists. I believe they went to many, many studios across the city. Made in LA started in 2012. And there are some big name art world phenomenon type people. So for example, Sterling Ruby, who's bought by Super Collectors, has work on display. But there's also work by a gentleman called Daniel R. Small, and he is fascinating because he is really a cross between an artist, an archaeologist, and a curator. His work is a totally California story. So it's excavating Cecil B. DeMille's 1923 movie set of the Ten Commandments. This is a movie set that was in Guadalupe, in California, just north of Santa Barbara, and in the 1923 movie, acted as the perfect proxy for biblical Egypt. It was a colossal film set, which was willfully destroyed. It was blown up. He didn't want anybody else having access to his glory. And it's in Daniel R. Small's work, he really gets underneath the sands of time, if you like, and he looks at this artifact of historical artifice, really questioning the way history can be filled and riddled with holes and gaps. So it's interesting on a number of levels. One, that it's a cultural time capsule of the 1920s in itself. You have all these ephemera from the Prohibition era. They used to drink booze out of medicine bottles, apparently. But there's also, thanks to the sandblasting since, you know, the century that's passed since it was blown up, it looks oddly legitimate. It looks oddly like something might look from Egypt. However, there are all sorts of booby traps, and the meaning and provenance of artifacts is infused with fantasy because, after all, this was a 1920s Art Deco representation of what Egypt looked like. So on many levels, it's just a fascinating piece of work, which is really an archaeological artwork as much as anything.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. The name of the artist is Daniel B. Small.
Daniel R. Small.
Daniel R.
Small. The movie, yeah, and the movie is Cecil B. DeMille.
It sounds absolutely amazing, and it obviously sounds like all our listeners around the world will obviously be thinking that they need to correct you, Richard. Daniel is small. It sounds like a fascinating stuff. Is there in this show with such a big title, such a potentially meaningful title, Made in LA? Does it give a span of everything that is happening? Do we see all sorts of different things? I mean, people moved to Los Angeles originally for the light. Are people negating that now? Is this a broad survey of all the sort of stuff that is happening? The sort of broad church that is the LA art scene these days.
Absolutely. So it focuses on dance, fashion, literature, music, and film. And there's one other artist, actually, that might be worth talking about called Rafa Esparza. And he is a performance artist who uses handmade adobe bricks. And what he is doing away with is the whole white box, deferential white box, and raising the cultural exclusivity of somewhere like, for example, the Hammer, where this is on display. He was born and raised in Pasadena. He's a son of Mexican immigrants, again, peculiarly and beautifully Californian in his themes. And really, he is talking about how the land belongs to those who work it. So he is focusing on queer and Latino history, and he makes his bricks on a plot along the LA River.
It sounds like fascinating stuff. And clearly you're going to give us a positive answer to this one, Richard. So much has been written about the Los Angeles art scene over the last 5 years, that it is the place where everyone wants to move, the space, the increasing legitimacy of the market there, all the rest of it. Do shows like this really kind of show you where Los Angeles is on the map and sort of markets power as an emerging art capital of the world?
It does. It's definitely a dynamic moment here in Los Angeles. Hauser and Wirth opened their exhibition space in downtown Los Angeles a couple of months ago. The Broad being a very glossy, shiny, thrusting architectural building that opened last year. So these developments are absolutely gathering momentum and showing the might of Los Angeles. Los Angeles has jaws now.
Okay, that show is called Made in LA and it's at the Hammer Museum until the 28th of August. We're going to end on a wonderful punning title. It's a show at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. It's called Reigning Men, Fashion in Menswear. Richard, how have they put this one together? Does this make the clothes feel like they're moving or does this feel static? What is the success of Reigning Men?
Well, fashion retrospectives tend to focus on women, so this already challenges that equation. And the way this exhibition particularly works is it threads together and links between the past and the present. So, for example, fashion extremists of the French Revolution are later reflected in the designs of Anne de Munemeester. Also, the Teddy Boy jacket of the 1950s, we learn in this exhibition, resurrects elements of Edwardian-era styles characterised by long single-breasted jackets. So we discover all these little momentary revolutions connected by politics, science, art, and how they have transformed the appearance of men's fashion over this time period.
And of course, I mean the history and the historiography actually of these pieces is obviously an interesting thing. I'm always interested also in the staging and in the staging of shows about fashion. They're not always the easiest things to pull off. For every kind of McQueen retrospective at the V&A, there's something that is a little bit of a damp squib. How have they kind of marked out their own territory here at LACMA, Richard?
Well, that is true. When clothes are put on mannequins, sometimes they can slightly sort of fall in their impact. But what I suppose it's the way that you are visually stunned by these totally unexpected ensembles being represented and presented next to each other. So they become more than the sum of their parts than they would do if they were just standing on their own on a mannequin. So it's the blending and the historical referencing that we're given from Sharon Takeda, who is the senior curator at LACMA. And she's secured ensembles representing key moments in the history of menswear, including, by the way, the Zoot Suit, which has a particular cultural reference for California.
It's interesting stuff. Before we go, we need you to put on a jacket or a pair of trousers or a fancy pair of shoes. If you could walk out of the exhibition with one item of clothing, Richard, what would it be? I don't know whether you're a Hawaiian shirt wearer or a dandy, but if you had to pick one to take away, what would it be?
I would say it would be the Zoot Suit.
Ah, okay, it's good. We hope he can carry it off, literally and metaphorically. That is Reigning Men, Fashion in Menswear, 1715 to 2015. Quite an amazing date range there. And that is at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art until the 21st of August. Before that, we heard Made in LA at the Hammer Museum. That's on until the 28th of August. And Cindy Sherman, Imitation of Life at the Broad, LA, until the 2nd of October. Talking us through it was the wonderful Richard Bentz on the line from California. Richard, thank you very much indeed for your time. That brings us to the end of today's show. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound, and the programme was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll talk music. For the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thanks for tuning in.